You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
I'm Bob Adele. I serve as a deacon here at Sabina Road Baptist Church, and as most of you know, we're going through a transition. We're searching for a new lead pastor. So today's guest speaker is Dallas Bivens. He's the director of the Phoenix campus of Gateway Seminary. So please join me in welcoming Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, buddy. Well, good morning. Man, that was pretty good, you guys. You excited to be here? You could live anywhere in the country and you live in Tucson, Arizona, where God shines down and the Wildcats won in LA last night. Who doesn't like the fact that the Wildcats didn't win last night, or won last night? Anyone? Listen, my name's Dallas Bivens. Just a short introduction. I am the son of a pastor. I'm in the ministry because God called me. Not because my father was a pastor. I thought I'd be a football coach years ago. And so I coached ball for a while and did some business things and all that. And man, lo and behold, God called me and I serve him now. Presently, I'm at Gateway Seminary, hence the shirt, if you can see the logo. Gateway Seminary is out of Los Angeles, but we have a campus in Scottsdale. Do you guys know that you have a campus in Scottsdale of Gateway Seminary? There's four or five regional campuses, and I run the one up there. I'm also the associate professor of ministry leadership. We have about 100 or so students and 10 to 15 faculty up there. We have little mini campuses around the state of Arizona in North Phoenix, Lake Havasu City, and tomorrow we're opening in Payson and in Las Vegas. Plans are to open up a branch in Tucson in September of this year. So we'll be bringing the seminary down here for you guys. I am very proud father of three kids. Rick is 22 and is in the Special Ops program with the U.S. Air Force at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. Cameron, our daughter, is 18. She is married and lives in Rogersville, Tennessee. Her husband directs one of the children's ministries for the Virginia Baptist Convention. And then our youngest is Brock. Brock is 14. He's a power pack, energy type guy. He's a bowler. He's in a couple of bowling leagues. He fired a 297, so close, yesterday. He's 14 years old. He's a cancer survivor, Make-A-Wish kid, and a St. Jude kid, and just the love of our life right now. My wife and I met at San Diego State. We were both college pastors or college ministers there on that campus. Fell in love and got married 26 years ago in June. She is a fitness instructor up in Phoenix. I'm worn out. Man, alive. I am so excited to talk to you today because if you see on the screen, I've got it making it stick in 2017. How many of you make good New Year's resolutions 3 weeks ago? You know, today's 21st. So 3 weeks ago, you're bright and bushy-tailed and wide-eyed and ready to go. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Come on.
No.
Yeah?
No.
If you've kept those resolutions, keep your hand up. Seriously? Good job, you guys. They say 90% of all resolutions made at New Year's fall within the first 48 hours. It's true. How many times I've looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to read all these books, or I'm going to lose weight or save more money or spend more time with, or, you know, whatever it is. And it always seems to fail. There's a couple of ways I want to teach you today. And I am a teacher, probably more of a teacher than a preacher. I want to engage your head. I want to give you some good information and have you understand those things. But more than that, I want that to fall into your heart. I want that place where God lives inside you to chew that stuff up to where you can trust it, where you can believe it. And then finally, out your hands, I want you to do something about it. Does that make sense? And by the way, that's one thing I do a lot. I need some feedback from you guys during the message. So a lot of times, I'll in the middle of this, more time than you'll ever think. I'll say, does that make sense? Are you guys with me? How does that sound to you? And at that point, you're supposed to say, gotcha, amen. If you're not there, give me a big dumb look and we can go back through it again. Some of you are giving me that look right now. I'm not looking in any direction. I'm looking straight up. How does that sound?
Amen.
Are you all with me?
Yes.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. Next slide, buddy. Let's take a look at it. Joshua 1, just to set the background, because listen, we are all right here in Joshua 1 individually. You guys ready for this? And so is Sabino Road. Sabino Road is in Joshua chapter 1. The background of this, for 400 years, the children of Israel are in the land of Egypt as prisoners. They get out. God delivers them miraculously. They start heading toward this new promised land. You guys are all Sunday school people, right? You've heard this story. They get to the borders of the promised land. They decide not to go through and trust God and claim the land. They knew in their heads what God had said, just not in their hearts. So therefore, their hands didn't do what they were supposed to do. And they had to stop. For 40 years, God let the children of Israel die off in the wilderness because they were not trusting him. You guys have heard that, right? Joshua now is on the scene. Moses isn't even allowed in the new land. So Joshua comes on the scene, and God talks to him, man to man, in Joshua chapter 1, and he says four words. He says three different focuses. It's just between him and Joshua. It's a one-on-one conversation. And there's one priority for it. Joshua now has a tall task. Yeah, it's interesting. At Christmas, we, of course, celebrate the birth of Christ and so forth. When Mary was told that she would have a son and be the Messiah, you know the name that was said to her. You shall call his name, it wasn't Jesus. Yeshua, Joshua. And that's a name that they would understand. Yes, this is the leader of Israel. He's the one that conquered the land, Joshua. Oh man, don't you love this? Sabino Road is right here, right now. You are at the cusp of the Jordan River. And the way God talks to Joshua, he needs to talk to you and me. And he needs to talk to us as a church body. A lot of the things I say to you are meant to be, all of them are meant to be one-on-one. Your relationship with God. But secondly, we as a team at Sabino Road, we have to figure things out. It's time for new direction. It's time to get going. It's time to cross the Jordan. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and the first few verses. I put them up on the board there. In fact, I'm probably going to read them just like this because I've got these little cheaters, but I'd rather read them here. Y'all with me?
Yes.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. By the way, I always wonder why he had to say that. Because Joshua knows what happened. Moses was taken up. He's no longer here. Yet for some reason, God wanted Joshua to understand it's over. New things now come about. Now therefore arise, go up over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to all the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I've already given it to you. just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, this will be your territory, all of it. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses. You guys hear that twice now, right? I will be with you. I will not leave you. I won't forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand, to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Leave it up. Leave it up. Go back. Are you guys in the practice of reading verses backwards? Read that verse backwards. Yeah, you guys aren't in the practice of reading verses. What does it say? If you want to have good success wherever you go, don't let this book of the Word go from the right hand to the left. That's what it says. By the way, in higher education, in the seminary classes and all that, that's called a promise. God just promised them. If you want good success wherever you go, don't let this book of the law out of your hands. Can y'all follow that? It's pretty easy, isn't it? Next verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that's in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Leave it up. I'm sorry, man. You're doing so good back there. Read that verse backwards. If you want to have good success, you want to be prosperous, keep this book of the law in your mouth, in your manners, in whatever you do. Isn't that cool? It's another promise. Next slide. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened or afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you have heard that story? None of you? Well, one of you. Good. Two, three. You guys are the sharpest group of people I've talked to all day. There are three words that he says, four words that he says three times. What are they? Strong and courageous. To Joshua, this meant the world to him, because Joshua is a servant of God, but he served Moses. Moses was the man. Moses took them out of Egypt. Moses took them up to the Jordan River. And when the time came to do something, Joshua and Caleb, with 10 other spies, went to look over the land. They got it wrong. They thought they were to see if they could take the land, not how. So when they came back, the bad spies talked everyone into saying, "We can't do this. Oh, we should have died back in Egypt." It is Joshua and Caleb that stand up. It is Joshua now and Caleb that over 40 years, they're the only ones still alive as everyone else has died off. Do you understand what Joshua is doing? He has a whole nation full of youngsters, greenhorns, no experience. All their heritage is watching their parents die off in the wilderness because they were unfaithful, disobedient. Wow. Then he comes to Joshua, and any time that God tells us to do something, that's important. When he says three times, this is what you got to do, man to man, one on one, that's a lesson we need to hear at Sabino Road. Amen? Amen. He says it three times. The first time he says it, he refers back to the past. He looks to the past. You can get to that slide wherever that is. Forget not the past, but claim his promise. Remember when he said in verse 6, go back there for just a second. Go to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. The first time that God says, be strong and courageous, he refers back to their past. But in a way that's so unique, so incredible, that it makes us today at Sabina Road, we really have to figure this out. Go back to that slide. Forget not the past. Most people fail in what the journey is for them because they don't know, have a clear understanding of how God wants to use them or what God's plan for their life is. This is true of a church. 90% of the churches in America today are plateaued or dying because they don't know what God's plan is. I've got a couple of references up there. We won't turn there, but if you remember the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, and also when God tells Moses that he's going to give this new promised land to the children of Israel, there's no doubt at all what God's plan is for the children of Israel. Now, here's the nasty thing. Lots of times, as individuals, when we look back to our past, I don't know about you guys, but when I think back of my past, I generally don't think of the good things. I think of the times I failed. I think of the times I've sinned. I think of the things I wish I could have done differently. You guys with me on that?
Yeah.
What was God saying here when he says, just as I swore to Moses, this is the land I told you I'd give to you. What he's saying is, when you think of the past, don't think of the sins you've committed if you've repented and been cleansed of those. He says, think of my promises. They're still there. As an individual, I find great, great comfort in that. I don't know about you guys. Shoot, yesterday I sinned pretty heavily. I'm sure you did too. It's amazing how many times we do the wrong thing. We sin against God. We break that relationship. And yet each and every day, we can bring those sins to him, ask forgiveness and repentance. Wow, he cleanses us. We're made whole again. What God wanted Joshua to understand is, for 40 years, your parents have been disobedient. Because of that, they haven't got the promised land that I had promised. And all that is gone. My promises are still intact. Amen? What does that mean for us at Sabina Road? It means that no matter what the past has been, some of you have been here for 30 years, I bet. No matter how the good times went, bad times rolled, whatever it is, the past is behind. When we look back to the past, there's no more, oh, how I wish we'd had Brother Sorensen or whoever was your favorite pastor. Oh, how I wish we had the guy when I was a little kid. That's the kind of new pastor we need. All that's gone. The past is the past. When you think of the past, don't think about where you've been. Don't think about the sins you've committed if you've asked forgiveness and repented. What God is saying is, my promises are still intact, and I love Sabino Road, and the best days for us are still ahead. Trust me. That's what he's saying. You guys ready for the nasty part? Yeah, you want some, don't you? Here it comes. Comfort and accommodation. There were 2.5 tribes. Go back. There were 2.5 tribes. Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh. They wanted something else. They come up to the promised land that God has said, this is yours. You are my people. Go here, follow me, obey. And they got to the Jordan River, and you know what they said? We like it back here. It's pretty good back here. We like this. What did they like about it? It fits us. You see, we're shepherds. This land back here fits us. You know what God said? You know what Moses said? No. The new land. Go this way. cross the Jordan over. Let's go here. No, we are here. This is us. Guys, as Sabino Road goes through this transition, you must not remain who you are back here. God has called this church, He's called you individually, to take a step across the Jordan to something new. What is that? What He says it is. God kept calling them and saying, no, you're a new creation. Come here. You fit in this land, not back here in the nasty stuff. Across the Jordan. Across. Does this make sense to everybody? This might sound like a raw sermon. And it is, in a way, to get your heart to understand. Inside, we cannot stay where we are. Amen? Now that one deserves a big one. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome, you guys. Wow. Don't you love this quote? They were delivered out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in their hearts. So God tells them one time, be strong and courageous. When you think of the past, don't think of how bad you've been or the sins you've committed and so forth. Remember, my promises are still in effect. Next slide. The present. He says a couple things about the present. He says, imitate the example. Go to verse 7, if you will. And let's read that. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from the right hand or the left hand, that you may have good success wherever you go. Remember, we read that one backwards. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. I love those verses because they're promises. Those promises say, if you want to be successful, relevant, effective, if you want to be all that you can be, you got to do a couple things. Keep this book of the law in front of you. And don't turn to the left or to the right. Pretty easy, isn't it? Man, that's the sermon right there. We could quit and go home. Now, as I say, be prosperous, be successful and so forth. You know we're not talking about finances and things like that. We're talking about being all that God has called you individually to be. It says it a couple ways. Go to that slide. Now the present slide. There you go. Couple things. He says, imitate the example. Imitate the example. There are no shortcuts. According to all the law and according to all that is written in it. Satan kind of has us thinking that if we do a halfway job, if we go 60% of the way, if we go far enough that we feel good about it, that it's okay. And God tells Joshua, you want to be strong and courageous? Each and every day, do everything according to the law. Your new pastor needs to preach only the word, all the word, all the time. Does that make sense? You must, people, as followers of Jesus, you must always have a biblical or spiritual foundation for any decision you make. He says, keep that book of the law in front of you. Imitate it. Then he says, no compromise. Don't turn from the left or to the right. Don't add or subtract. Just do it. Just do it. Now here's the thing. That's my job. My job is to tomorrow carve out time in my day, put it on my schedule, and spend time with Him. More than that, throughout the day, I need to be with my Lord and Savior. Lots of Christians think that God will just whoop you upside the head as you're walking down the street and you guys will have a great relationship together. I love my wife. I make it a priority to spend time with her. Don't you do that with yours? Yeah. If I leave it to chance that somehow I will just interact with my wife, sometimes that doesn't work all the time, does it? God lays out to Joshua, clear as can be, you want to be strong and courageous? You must keep this book of the law in front of you. And don't go to the left or to the right. Keep it in front. Second thing he says was, instill it everywhere. In your mouth, that's how you speak. By the way, you speak what you think. That's your head. In your mind, your thoughts, and in your manners. In all that you do. I put 1 Thessalonians 5:23 up there. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Oh, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You want to know how you can be relevant and effective and successful as a church? Keep this book of the law in front of you. By the way, when's the best time to keep the book of the law in front of you? Monday through Saturday. We're awfully good Sundays, aren't we? Man, we're the best people in the world Sunday. We all look good. But the real test of a believer is how we live that out in our everyday lives. We got young people in here, school kids. It's at school. We have people that work out in offices and down at the store. That's where you go. When you go shopping, to the bank, wherever you go, keep this book of the law in front of you. Amen?
Yes.
Now, we did past, we did present. Any idea what the next is going to be? You guys are so good. All right, let's go to the next one. Fear nothing but colonize with priorities. How do you like that guy? You know, when I was talking to my wife a couple of weeks ago, making up this PowerPoint, I said, do I get the mountaintop? You know, the guy up there on the mountain and all that. Fear not and colonize with priorities. You know that when God calls you to do something, oh, I don't know about you guys, a lot of times I feel like that guy. And when he comes to Joshua and God says, be strong and courageous, I will go with you. Wow. Sometimes I'm like that guy. The only way not to be like that guy, to be strong and courageous, is to do what God says. Look at verse 9. Go to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, don't be frightened or afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says this three times. In the past, think of my promises. In the present, keep this book of the law in front of you. My walk, my relationship with you. In the future, be strong and courageous. Don't forget that I'm with you every step you take. All right, go back to that slide. It's really good, you guys. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's kind of funny, the only way not to be afraid, to be strong and courageous, is to remember this promise. Now, afraid means dread, terrified, scared. This isn't little butterflies in my tummy when I want to do this. It is absolute terror. It's a phobia. Matthew 14:27. The guys are in the boat, the disciples, in the middle of a storm. By the way, it says that God put them in the middle of a storm. And Jesus comes walking out and he says, fear not, it is I. To me, same word, translate, don't be afraid. I find that so interesting because the disciples are crying out and they're saying, we are about to die because of the storm. And when Jesus comes out, he says, it's going to be okay because I'm going to take care of the storm? No. It is okay because I'm here. I'm here. He doesn't come to take care of the storm, per se, he does. But he comes and says, it's all right, I'm right here. Where are you as an individual with the things that come against you every day? Things that make you afraid and terrified. And secondly, where are we at Sabino Road? What does the future look like for us? Are you afraid? From the looks of us, we're getting older. I don't know about you guys, I hurt every day when I wake up. What's going to happen to our church? What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our grandkids? Boy, that brings it down personal, doesn't it? Jesus is saying, I am here. That's the object of our strength and courage. Not, oh, get this thing out of here. Get the storms of life out. No, it is I am here in the midst of them. We're in a transition period here at the church. Lots of us will feel lots of fear and terror. What's going to happen next? What's God going to do? I want you to understand, he wants you not to be afraid because he is in our midst and this is still his church. Amen?
Amen.
We are his servants. Amen?
Amen.
Do you think he's going to let loose on us and walk away? No. He's with us. Second thing he says, don't be dismayed. Dismayed means prostrate, broken down, defeated. Colossians 3:21, fathers, don't embitter your children. They'll get discouraged or dismayed. John 14:27, peace I leave you, peace I give you, not as the world. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I love the two 14:27s. In Matthew, it's on a boat, on the water. In John, it is, I've got to leave you. Did you know that? The context of that verse is, I got to go. But we're afraid. We're dismayed. Hold it. No, I need to leave so that the Spirit will come. And he's left us the Holy Spirit. Next slide. All right. How do we pull this off? How do we do it? By the way, all my messages, and have you heard that I call them messages? These are words of God that I've received, that I've put into practice, and I'm still putting into practice, and it's a message I want to give to you. They always end with, what's your homework? What do we do next? So I'm just not going to leave you hanging. I want you to walk out and know this is what I do this week. Amen? Jeez Louise, you guys, come on, you can bear that. You sound like one of my classes. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Ask for his help. He knows what you need more than you do. Jeremiah 1. Before you were born, while you were still in your mom's tummy, I had plans for you. So ask for his help. If you don't know what to ask for, ask him what to ask for. Secondly, align yourself with him. Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours. There are two kinds of prayers. Well, there's a lot of kinds of prayers, but two main ones. You either ask for stuff, or you align yourself with him. Jesus at Gethsemane, you see the reference up there. He didn't say, God, I want this. He said, Father, whatever you want. Whatever you want. This is a time where when we look for a new pastor, we may be tempted to say, this is what I want. God, give me this guy. By the way, that's usually about a human being or modeled after a human being that we knew when we were a kid or the last good guy we had or whatever. You need to align yourself with God. Father, this is your church. What you want, I humbly put my spirit in your will. You tell me. Amen? Isn't it awesome? It's getting late. Last thing. I want you guys to remember this, whether this is the last time I see you or not. Man, you guys just moved into this building, didn't you? Wow. I got to go all the way over here to make noise. Man, I still can't make noise. There were 2.5 tribes that when they got to the River Jordan, they said, we understand that this is the promised land. We want this because this is who we are today. What God said was, you are a new creation across the Jordan. that's your lane. Yeah, that's right. I don't want to go across that lane. It's scary. And so what did God say in that final? He said, be strong and courageous. I'm with you wherever you go. If you go back to the first couple of verses of that chapter, you remember what he said? Everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given it to you. Do you realize that God didn't just give the land to the people? You realize that? There's a little apropos there. I give you the land as far as you trust me. Now, the 2.5 tribes said, we don't want to go. Based on who we are, we're here. By the way, Sabino Rose like that too. Some of you are back there saying, I sure hope we stay the same. I like the way we act, think, talk, dress. I like the way things are here. And God is calling you to go here. Here's the thing. Moses and later Joshua went to these 3.5 tribes, and said, if you want to stay here, you can. By the way, God's like that. He doesn't force you to do anything. If you want to stay where you are, you can. Take a look at each other. Just look at each other. He'll look at you. Man, you're a good group of people. Good looking, fun, happy. There you go. Guys, if you want to look inward in the future, this is what you got. And it's not bad. You will start to die off. I don't know if you'll bring more people in, but if you're inward focused, this is what we got. And it's not bad. Come to that conclusion, because this is one of your choices. We can stay where we are and make decisions on who we are right now, where we've been in the past, and stay on this side of the Jordan. Moses said to these 2.5 tribes, but you will come and fight with us and take the land. You will do that. So, as they started across the Jordan, they encountered Jericho and Ai and all these towns. And every single day, every single week, they had these battles. And all the tribes are with them as they win each battle, even those 2.5 tribes. And as they progress, they take this town of giants, and this town of giants, and this one. And all the tribes are involved, every one of them. And on the last day of the last battle, when the last giant falls, 2.5 tribes have to turn around and go back the same way they came in. And as they go back, they see a town being built over here, barns being raised over here, roads being built, pens, all sorts of stuff. And they have to walk back and cross the Jordan back to what they settled for. There are footsteps of victory in life, and there's footsteps of regret. What did God say? Everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given you. They could have gone to the end of this building right there and claimed that land. Or they could trust God. Guys, this is a choice for all of us. Are we going to settle for what we are now, or trust God in the future with what he has for us? God doesn't make that decision. You do. I don't make that decision. Your new pastor won't make that decision whenever he gets here. You, as the church body, will you trust God? It wasn't just Joshua and Caleb walking out there. It's Joshua and Caleb and the whole host walking and trusting God. Man, I love you guys. I will be praying that you make the right decisions. Because the bad decision, that one of regret? Man, that stinks. This message is for two people. I am assuming that most of you have had a wonderful relationship with God. Somewhere along the line, you saw that you were created for a special purpose, and that's to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're a member of God's family, and hallelujah, this message is for you. This message is meant for you to this week, as you remember the situations that come about, you remember the points of this sermon, and you submit in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The second person that this message is for, there could be someone here that's never had a personal walk with God. So a lot of this stuff that we just went through may not make a lot of sense. But let me explain that the first man created, Adam, was created for one purpose, and that was to walk with God. You were created for the same purpose. And so if you've never reconnected with the God who created you, that's your whole purpose in life. Of course, this stuff doesn't make sense. The good news is, if that's you, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and started that relationship with God, you can start that today. We're 3 weeks into the new year. What a good time to start. If that's you, we're going to have a little time of what we call decision or invitation. If that's you, just jump up and come down. I'll talk to you. You can start that relationship with Him today. Guys, I love you because you're the church of God at Sabino Road. You're different than any other church. And what God has for you in the future is going to be different than any other church. I pray that as you remember the past, you remember His promises. As you do your work today, you don't let that book of the law out of your sight. And as you march toward the future, that you remember you must trust God and step out. Thanks for having me here. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great story, the encouragement of Joshua. Father, sometimes I feel I'm not very strong. I'm not very courageous. I don't know what to do next. But you do, Lord. And the future's not based on what I'm thinking I can do. It's based on what you want me to do. And I can trust you. Father, this time of invitation is yours. May you be relevant and able to work in our hearts. And Satan, I bind you from any influence this morning of anyone that needs to trust you. Father, you are God. We love you. We trust you. We lay ourselves on your altar. And we give ourselves wholeheartedly to you. Father, we love you. We know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.